the Zayin Kroivim, and the Tanoim have a machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that the Roi Tama is a Chayvo, the Roi Tama is a Rishus, means is the Kohen obligated to be Mitami to the Zayin Kroivim, or if he wants to, he may, but he's not really obligated to. The Gemara in Zvachem and Akur relates that this machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, who argued it out after the Churban Abayis, was already a machloikis in earlier generations, his man Abayis, and the accepted opinion was that the Kohen was obligated to be metame to the Zayin Kroivim. And one of the Kohanim didn't want to, with Timu Echav HaKohanim Bal Korchai. This is a machlekes between the Rambam and the other Rishonim regarding this mitzvah of Lo Yitama. The Rambam's opinion is, we pass from like Rabbi Akiva that it's a Chayvah. So there's a further machlekes between the Rambam and the Raivid. Is the Chayvah only Mutelas al Kohanim? The Rambam says the obligation to participate in the funeral is only Mutelas al Kohanim, because by Kohanim it's forbidden to be Mitami to Mesim in general. So if they'll be Mitami to the Zayin Kroivim, this will be a sign of respect. Yishol Kamacham, like the Rambam writes the Loshon, Kamacham Uri Mitzvah Savelis, Shahari Nitchis Tuponeho Tumas Kohanim. But by a non Kohen, if the surviving relatives are non Kohanim, so why the Rambam thinks, why should it be a sign of respect? Why does that show Kavod Abayis? Because I'm a Tame to the Mace. And the other Rishonim disagree. The other Rishonim say, no, Lo Yitama applies to even non-Kohanim as well. That whether the surviving relatives are Kohanim or not, the mitzvah is Lo Yitama to be Metame. Taka, how come by the Kohanim it's permissible? Why is it permissible? If a Kohen is Metame le Mace, he's in violation of a Lo Yitama. So why is it permissible over here to be metame to the Zayin Kroivim? So one would have theoretically been able to give an answer which is not the correct answer. He could have said, Esa Doicha Loi Sese, it's a mitzvah Sese Loi Yitama. So the Esa Loi Yitama is Doicha de Loi Sese of Lenefesh Loi Yitama B'yama. This is not the correct answer, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos that if a Kohen is metame to a Meis, it's not only an Esa, it's not only a Loi Sese, it's a lois asvibiyas, because all of the things that say here in the beginning of the parashah with respect to Kohanim are not permitted with Tamil Amesim. Loikavachu korcha berosham, they're not allowed to rip out their hair. Piyasakaram loikalechu, vipsaram, not allowed to shave off their beards. Vipsaram loisutusaratas, they're not allowed to scrape into their arms, into their body. If someone dies, so it says, even though loikavachu korcha berosham, piyasakaram loikalechu, vipsaram loisutusaratas, these three lavim apply equally to Kohanim and to non-Kohanim. Nonetheless, the next pasuk says, Kedoshim Yiyu L'Elokeihem, if a Kohen violates either Tumas Kohanim, or Korcho, or Giluach HaZakon, or Sarates, he's also a violation of Kedoshim Yiyu L'Elokeihem. There's a Lois Eser Yesen. And the Gemara says in Yevamos, in the beginning of Yevamos, that's the rule. Esei Deicha Lois Eser, however, Ein Esei Deicha Lois Eser Yesen. So how is it permissible for the Kohanim to be metame to the Zayin Kroivim? Fine, you have an essay, but we have the rule, Ein Eser Decholai Sesiri Essay. So Rashi and Brachas answers on Daf Chav, no, these are the Feirish exception to the rule. It says the Feirish. It says that it's forbidden in the Nefesh Leitama B'yamav Ki'im L'Sheiro. It says he's not allowed to be metame to any other Mason except for the Zayin Kroivim. So the Zayin Kroivim were never included in the prohibition in the first place. It's not that the heter to be metamic to the Zayin Kroivim is that the essay of Lo Yitama is doicha the Lois Eser. It doesn't have to be doicha. The Lois Eser was never formulated in the first place. That's how it says, Kiim l'shelo. That's what Rashi calls hutra. Hutra means when the prohibition, when the Lois Eser was formulated, this case was never included in the prohibition. The Rambam obviously thinks not so. The Rambam writes that the Rambam writes explicitly, Zuchuyahi. Tumas Ameis, Eitzel Kohanim. It's Duchuya, it's not Huchma. The Rambam writes an Afkamina la Halacha based on this, that it's Duchuya. And the Rambam wrote, that was the Rambam held that the mitzvah of Lo Yitama only applies to Kohanim, doesn't apply to non-Kohanim, because only by Kohanim, where the Mechalo, the Kedushas, where they're forbidden to be Mentami L'Mesim, and when they're Mentami to design Kohanim, then the Mechalo, the Kedushas Kuna, so that's a sign of respect. As the Rambam explains, Kama Chamuri, he mitzvah Saverish, and he mitzvah Spimponeri, he said Tumas Kohanim. So he holds that it's doiche. Rama holds the fair is that it's doiche. It's not that it's utra. The sutra doesn't show that one is more common than the other. It just shows when the prohibition was formulated, it's nefesh leitam of yamav, it never applied to design crowds. So the Rambam is beferish that is the chuyah. Tosfos also disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos on the daf and brachas daf chav disagrees with Rashi and says that he's not right. Rashi writes that the fact that kohen is permitted to be metamet to design krovim is because design krovim were never included in the first place. Kim the sheir akorabel tzutra. Tosfos says not correct. It's the chuyah. I but the klal is ein esay doicha lois esay bi esay. And the Gemara says in Yevamos when the kohen is metamet lemesim. Not only is he in violation of the loistesi, loitam is a violation of kedoshim yilo lekeyim. The Tosfos comes up with an answer that's basically based on the Gemara beginning of Yevamos, that if the loistesi the essay are of a weaker category, then essay is the loistesi the essay. What can be considered a weaker category? These prohibitions that only apply to kohanim. It's a lav shein shav bakol. The issa that the kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeisim, kedushim yu lalakem, the lois es of the essay, are both ein shava bakol. So, essay can be doicha lois es of the essay if it's ein shava bakol. That's what Tosfos says the klal. Yes, kohen, yeah, that's how we pass it. Rashi holds that as utra. Rashi holds that there's no prohibition at all. Tosfos holds that Tosfos and the Rambam hold that it's dukuya.
And you still force it.
And you force it, yeah. The pashtus is when you have no. Let's say any case that you have esa doicha lois esa. Let's say we're permitted to wear tzitzis that have chelas on a beggar chalsemer, even though it's pis, even though it's shatnas. So the Eser Dechol Oisese means if you want to, it's permissible to fulfill the mitzvah either at the expense of the Oisese, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. It doesn't mean, no, you're obligated to. The Eser requires of you to do the Eser and violate the Oisese. So the Pashtus is, any case of Eser Dechol Oisese means you're obligated to perform the mitzvah Oisese, and you're obligated to violate the Oisese in order to perform it. Some of the Galatiana Achreinim in the recent years, it's 150 years ago, they write, that whenever you have an essay, dechol essay means it's, if you choose to, it's permissible to do the essay even at the expense of violating the essay, but it's optional. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Shkulin. The pashtus is that it's not shkulin. The pashtus is that every instance of essay, dechol essay means that you're obligated to. Then the Chumash lists off all of the prohibited marriages for the Kohanim. The difference between a Kohen Hedyot and a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Hedyot is only forbidden to marry three women, a Zayna, a Halala, and a Grusha. And the Kohen Gadol, in addition to these three women, is also forbidden to marry an Almana. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. And then not only is he not allowed to marry an Almana, you can have a woman who is none of the above, not an Almana, not a Grusha, not a Zayna, not a Halala, but she's 19 years old. So if the Kohen Gadol wants to marry her, he's not allowed to, the Gemara says, because there's a mitzvah, Kim Besula Miyama Vikach, and she has to marry a Besula. Even though the girl is a psula, so the Gemara says in Yevamos that there are two parts. We had it in the beginning of Ksubas. This is quoted from the middle of Yevamos that there are two parts to the psulim. There's dam psulim, and there's pesach dochuk. So the Gemara says once the girl reaches bagru, so the psulim is incomplete. It's not a complete psulim. So a kohen gadol, when do they appoint the man as a kohen gadol? The age of 15. Some 50 something. So if the Kohen Gadol wants it, so he's probably married already. He's probably married already. So let's say the Kohen Gadol married an Almana, a Kohen married an Almana, and then they're looking around to appoint the Kohen Gadol, and then they want to appoint him. So when they appoint him, so he has to get divorced from his wife who's an Almana. So the Mishnah says in Yevamos, no, that since he married a Beheter, so we say, Hol b'ishtar yishtar, he may remain with the wife who's the Almana. Even if he's not fully married yet, there are two parts to marriage. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. So even if he only Erises Almana, then Isman Aliyah is Kohen Gadol. There's a Mishnah in Yivam, Zdav Samach Aleph, and Aleph. He only did Erisin with the Almana. And he didn't yet have the Nisuin. So then Isman Aliyah is Kohen Gadol. Then they appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. And he wants to go through with the rest of the marriage. So that's not forbidden. I say, Hovi Shtarya, Shtarya. Since he married already, he has Kiddushin, with the almani. He was a kohen hedyut. That was the heter. So I say hol b'ishtar yishtar. The same rule is used by the tanoim with respect to yibum. Let's say a married man dies, leaving no descendants, and his wife has yibum with the brother. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah of yibum is fulfilled with the birishayna. And after the birishayna is over, it's all finished. He's already fulfilled the mitzvah. He doesn't have to continue living with the woman. If he wants to divorce her, say he may. But if he wants to remain with her, he also may. How may he remain with her? How is he allowed to? And it's only muta the makam mitzvah. If it's not a makam mitzvah, it's going to remain in isa kares of eshesach. So the makam mitzvah is only the birishayna. So let the birishniyah be prohibited. So Taisus points out in the beginning of Yivamis around Daf Ches, they quote this Mishnah on Daf Samachala by the Kohen Gadol, that Talocha hol b'shtari yishtari, since at the time that he performed the Yibum, the Bir Rishonah was Muta, and he's kind of a Bir Rishonah. He's kind of the Eris and Nisun. The Yibum is Oisa Eris and Binisun. The two stages of Eris and Nisun, that's only when normal people get married. But when a Yavam performs Yibum, so the Yibum takes him all away. He or she already becomes an Nisun. So the Gemara says that Kimish Kinsa Nasis Kishta Lachaldova. Once he performs the Yibum, so he may remain with her, and he doesn't have to divorce her after the Birishayna. We say Hol Yishtar Yishtar. You don't say the woman goes back to the status, she falls back into the category of Eshesach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. No. As long as B'Makom Mitzvah, the Birishayna was Mutter, so everything is Mutter. The only time the Gemara says the Birishniyah is Aser is in a case where the Yevama not only has a prohibition of Eshesach, so then we say, B'makam Yibum, the Eshesach is Hutra. Let's say there's an additional Easter. She happens to be a Mamzeret, or she happens to be a Grusha. Or let's say the one who died was a Kohen, and the one who's alive, the surviving brother, is a Kohen Gadol. So if he's a Kohen Gadol, so then she's going to be an Almona. So the Gemara says if you have some additional prohibition over and above Eshesach, so true, it may be Muta the Birishayna, because sometimes we'll apply Esedech Alois Esay. Rather, the case of Almana is a bad case. If the woman whose husband died and the surviving brother was a Kohen Gadol and she just became an Almana, so Kohen Gadol Almana is an Esay Vilois Esay. The Gemara says, Ein Esedech Alois Esay the Esay, because she's a Be'ula. She's going to be a Be'ula and an Almana. So he'll be in violation of Kimsula Miyama V'Yikachisha, unless she was an Almana Minho Erisin, and she's only 12 years old. Okay, she's not yet 12 and a half. It's a rare case. Okay. But in a normal case, if the brother of the Kohen Gadol died, and his Almana, his wife, who's Yevama, Medis Leibum, this Kuka Leibum, is a Be'ula and she's an Almana now, so it's going to be Alois Esri, as he said, the surviving brother, the Kohen Gadol, will not be allowed to do Yibum at all. Even be a Rishon, it won't be permissible. But let's say it'll be an Almana Minu Erisin, so it'll only be Alois Esri. Or let's say the brother who passed away was married to a Grusha. Right or wrong, maybe the brother who died was a Chol, maybe the brother who died was a Kohen, but he was living with a Grusha or with a Chalol or whatever. So then the surviving brother who wants to do Yibum, let's say, is also a Kohen. So in our third, we would say the Birishayna is Mutter because Esedech Alois Esay. And that's as far as he go. After the Birishayna, everything else will be also. There we won't say, Hol Yishtar Yishtar. One should say, since at the Trilas HaIshus, everything was Mutter, so it remains Mutter later on. So the Minchas Chinuch has a brief essay about this. He quotes a Rashbo. The Rashbo should have been in Yevamos. No, the Rashbo is in Kiddushin, in the first perek on the sugya of Yefas Toar. So the Rashbo explains what the klal is. When do you apply the klal of Hol V'Yishtar Yishtar? Hol V'Yishtar Yishtar means if a couple got married and betchilas ha'ishus everything was beheta gamur, even though later on some iser creeps in, the heter is locked in. She remains muteres labailo. So that only applies in a case where betchilas ha'ishus everything was muter hutra, heter gomer. But if betchilas ha'ishus it was only muter betchinas dechuya, then it's not hol v'yishtarya. Yishtarya means hutra, heter gomer. If it started off as a heter gomer, then I say hol v'yishtarya. Since it started, the ishus started off the heter gomer, it's going to be yishtarya. So the kohen who married an almana, is Heter Gomer. A Kohen marries an Almona, Heter Gomer, and then they appoint him as a Kohen Gadol. Here he says, so Almona, and the Sman Aliyah is Kohen Gadol. So that was Beheter Gomer. So then I apply, Hovi Ishtar Yishtar Yu. Or a man is Miyabim, the Yavama. Man is Miyabim, the husband's, the brother's wife. So that's Hutra, that's not the Chuya. The fact that Eish Esach is lifted, Memakam Yibum, that's not a Bchina of the Chuya, that's not an Esed Dechal Exesik, that's a Bchina of Hutra. So since the Bia Rishayna was Hutra, Heta Gomer, so even the Bia Shnei will also be Muta, all the Ishtar Yishtar Yu. But if in the but if you have a case where not only the Yavama an Eish Esach, she's also a Mamzeres, or she's also a Grusha Lekoyin, you know, something like that, or a Mona Lekoyin Gadol, so the Bi Rishayim is only Muta based on Eser Dechol Esesi, which is only the Chuya, it's not Hutra. Eser Dechol Esesi is only the Chuya. Then the Klal of Hovi Ishtar Yishtar Yu does not apply. The Minchas Chinuch quotes the Beis Shmuel and Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, who quotes Tshuvas Apostkim, who give later cases about this. So he gives a case, a funny case. The prohibition against marrying your grandmother is only with the Rabban. In case someone falls in love with his grandmother, so it's a mutum and a teretz asim the Rabban. Shlomo HaMelech was goes on Shnias La writes. So it's only with the Rabbanon, so we have a klal in Shulchan Aruch that you don't say Yehoreg Bal Yavor on an Aver de Rabban. So let's say, a case. The Shatchan stands with a gun, and he says, you marry that grandmother or I shoot you. Okay, marry the grandmother. But then he says, you have an affair with the grandmother, I shoot you. So it's only the Rabbanon. So Pikoch Nefesh is Deichet. And then the guy with the shotgun goes away. The Meshugana goes away. So you're going to say, Hov Ishtariya Ishtariya. Since Betchilas Rishis, everything was Mutter, because I had the Pikoch Nefesh to marry the grandmother, and the Bi Rishayna was Mutter, because he held a gun, so it's Mutter. So the Beis Shmuel quotes a Tshuva in Achrayim, who talks about this case. So he says, you don't apply Hov Ishtar Ishtar Yu. Why? If it applies on the level of the Raisa, why should it apply to Shnias La Raisa? He says, no, because over here was never Ishtar Yu, it was never Hutra, it was only the Chuya. Whenever Betchilas Rishis is only a Pchina of the Chuya, then you don't apply Hov Ishtar Yu. Ishtar Yu. So in that case, let's say, a Kohen married an Almona. Kohen married a girl Almona. He wasn't a Kohen Gadol. And then when he reaches 50, 60, whatever, they decide to appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says that's not a problem. That's all the Ishtar Yishtar. What's he going to do if his wife passes away? His wife passes away. So he can't remarry unless he remarries a girl. The 75-year-old man has to marry a 12-year-old girl. That's unreasonable. So the poor guy is stuck. So he can't get married. Unless he retires. So he can't do the Avodah on Yom Kippur if he's not married. Right. He's not allowed to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So what can he do? So let him retire. And knew if he retires. If he retires, so what? He'll step down from the Kohen Gadol. So he still can't get married. Still a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol remains a Kohen Gadol even after he steps down. Unless they fire him. Unless they remove the status of Kohen Gadol from him. But the Gemara says, under normal circumstances, the Gemara says, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridim. You don't fire a Kohen Gadol. Unless he was caught on the biggest Avera in the world, and it's such a Chilul Hashem to allow him to retain the title of Kohen Gadol. But under normal circumstances, the Gemara says, in the first Perek in Yuman, if you say, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridim, you're not allowed to fire the Kohen Gadol. Maybe in this case, he'll plead Rachmanis. Maybe he'll plead with the Bez Nagar, please do me a favor, fire me. I have to get married.
No, of course.
No, the cause is b'makom mitzvah. He can't get married, maybe. But I don't remember of any Gemara discussing this problem. What's he going to do? He's a Kohen Gadol and his wife dies. So what's he going to do? He's stuck. He can't do that Avodah Yom Kippur and he can't remarry unless they fire him. The women that are forbidden to the Kohen Hedya, the Grusha, Zayna, v'Halala. So the Pasuk has an unusual way of describing Grusha. It says, Isha Zayna V'Chalal Lo Yikachu, Isha Grusha Misha Lo Yikachu. Should have put together, Isha Zayna V'Chalal Lo Grusha Lo Yikachu. Why is it write it separately? Isha Grusha Me'isha, funny lotion. A woman who is divorced from her husband. The Gemara says, obviously she's divorced from her husband. What? A boy takes a girl out on a date and he gives her a get and he says, Hariat Mugureshis Mimeni, so she's going to become a Grusha. You're only a Grusha if you were married and the husband divorces you. So the Gemara has a chiddush, which sounds like it's a din deraisa. Isha grusha misha. even if the husband only gave her a reach get, he gave his wife a get that was not valid, that didn't make any change whatsoever. She's still married to him. It's still, if it was a get, the husband gives his wife a get, and he says, "Hareat mugureish is b'mani v'hareat iat penteres l'shum adam." A get usually means that they're not married anymore. She's permitted to marry anybody she chooses. So this crackpot gives his wife a get. Hareat mugureish is b'mani. The iat penteres l'shum adam. You shouldn't be allowed to marry anybody else. So the Mishnah says the get is not chal. That's not a valid get. Nonetheless, she became a grusha l'kayim. So if the husband is a kayim, now he has to give her a get because he's not allowed to remain with her. That's what the Gemara refers to in the end of Gitna Zareach HaGet. Smells like a get. It isn't really a get. Smells like a get. So the Rambam writes that this din of Reach HaGet is only made a Rabbonim. It's not a din minatar. The Magi Mishnah says he doesn't know where the Rambam got it from. The Gemara sounds like it's a din deraisa. The Gemara darshins it from the pasuk. Isha grusha meisha. Afidolun is garsha ela meisha. The Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva, and the tshuva Sachadosha is the second volume of the Shagas Aryeh. He has a different kind of tshuvas, not like Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, complicated shayla. He has a shayla. What's the din of Reach HaGet? Is it the Raisa or the Rabbanon? Who's right? The Rambam or the Magid Mishnah? That's a shayla that he is. So he says the Rambam is wrong and the Magid Mishnah is right. He has different kind of tshuvas. So he thinks that the Shver Ram, he doesn't agree with the Rambam, that it's only a din mid the Rabbanon. The Rambam in Shulchan Aruch quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba that what if a couple are married but it's questionable whether the marriage is valid or not, and the Rabbanim recommended L'chumre that the husband should give his wife a get. Mikaret din, she doesn't really need a get, they're not really married, but L'chumre they recommended that they should give a get. If the husband gave the get on his own, he didn't ask any shailas, so then that's not called, Halacha says that they didn't need a get, so she's not a grusha. But what if they asked the shayla, and the Rabbanim recommended that they should give a get l'chumer, so the Ramah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba, that too is called a reach haget. So that's why the Ashkenazim are choshish for this chumra, because the Ramah quotes it. The Svardim don't observe this chumra, because the Mechaber does not quote it. You know, it doesn't come from the Ashkenazim, it comes from a Rashba. He's from the other side, he's from the Svardim. But the Ramah quotes this Tshuvas HaRashba, so Ashkenazim are choshish for this. Problem is that if you look in the Tshuvas HaRashba, he says the reverse. He starts off by entertaining such a Havmina, and then he rejects it. And the same thing in the Chiddush HaRashba ala Gemara, on Yevamos, he points out from the Gemara the reverse. So that's the problem with that Ramah. So that's why Rabbi Tzela Peterburger, in his Sefer Pri Yitzchak, the Talmud of Rabbi Saul Salanta, has a tshuva about this, and he says it's really a very difficult Ramah. He's not prepared to disagree with the Ramah, but he takes on the other Chacham and says, "B'di'evet, what if a kohen did marry a girl who was a grusha? She got to get lechumra. The Rabbanim recommended lechumra that she should get a get. Nikra didn't think she doesn't need a get, and lechumra they recommended she should get a get." So the Ramos quotes this Tshuvas HaRashba, you're not allowed to marry a Kohen, and then the Beis Shmuel quotes the Bach that even B'di'evet, and this is Tetzei, even if she married a Kohen, they have to get divorced. So Rabbi Tzela Peterburger, right, in this Tshuva, he thinks that you don't have to go so far, that's too much of a Chumr, but the Ramos itself is already a Chumr, because the Pashtus is that the Rashba said the reverse. So it's enough to be machma v'chatchila B'di'evet, if you have a big Shas HaTchak or B'di'evet, then we're not machma on that. These kind of shaylos come up all the time now. You have a couple was married, a girl was married by a Reform rabbi, there were no eidim, garnish, there was nothing. There was no keser kiddushin, there was nothing with nothing. A girl was civilly married. So there's no tvisit k'nikir adin, you didn't need any get. But l'chumra, we always require a get. And then she got a get, and then later on, she already married a kohen, and then later on they become bali tshuva. That's the style, that's the way it goes. After the grusha already married a kohen, she has already 10 children, then they become bali tshuva, and then they start to wonder, hey, how can I duchen? The husband said, how am I duchening? You just found out a din. You're married to a grusha, you're not allowed to duchen. And then he finds out, not only not allowed to duchen, he has to get divorced. He's not allowed to remain with his wife. So such a shas hatchak that they're married already. So then Rabbi Tzela Peterburger says there's room to be made. The pasuk says, "V'kidash tok yes lechem alokecha hu makriv." You have to be mekadesh the kohanim. What does that mean? V'kidash tok. So the Gemara in Yevamis on Daf Pei Zayin understands v'kidash de bal kochoi, that if the kohen married one of the nashim hapstuvos and he doesn't want to get rid of her, so the Gemara says we force him to divorce his wife. It's the Bezin's responsibility. If you have a Jewish government controlling this situation, so the responsibility of the Bezin, of the government, is to force the people who are married to Yisra to get divorced. V'kidash de bal kochoi. You kaif ala mitzvahs, that the kohen shouldn't remain married to the woman who is asur alo. That's the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Pei Zayin. Then there's a Gemara Gittin on Daf Nun Tes, where the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah says in Gittin on Daf Nun Tes, it's in the middle of the series of all the Mishnahs there, the 2.5 prokem about all the takonis from the Rabbanim of Pnei Darkei Shalom. So the Mishnah has another takonim of Pnei Darkei Shalom, that the kohen gets the first aliyah of Pnei Darkei Shalom. So the Gemara asks two kashas. The kohen gets the first aliyah of Pnei Darkei Shalom. What does it have to do with Darkei Shalom? I mean, if you don't give the kohen the first aliyah, it's going to explode. The kohanim are so crazy. You want to combat, you want to make sure you don't start up with the kohen, you got to give him always the first aliyah. You shouldn't get angry at the gabbai. Shouldn't punch the gabbai in the nose. What does it mean? And then it says, it's a takonim of the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, why is it a takonim of the Rabbanon? It's a din deraisa. The Tanya, we have a braisa, the kidashtoi. Leftarach Rishon, Leverach Rishon, Velita Mona Yofer Rishon. You have to be Mechabed a coin to get the first Aliyah, or to say Hamoitzi, to be Mechabed a coin that you should bench Mezuman. You always have to be Mechabed a coin. So why does the Mishnah say that it's only a Takon of the Rabbanon, it's a Din Derais, it has nothing to do with Darkei Shalom? So the Gemara explains what's going on. Gemara says, yes, there is a Din, you have to be Mechabed a coin with the first Aliyah. But if the coin chooses to, he can be Moichel on his covered. So the Tanoim saw that this is maybe the day Machloikis, that once in a while a kohen would be Mechel on his covered because there's a friend of his there, and other times he would not be Mechel on his covered. He would insist on his rights in getting the first Aliyah. So some of the people would feel hurt. How come he's Mechel on his covered for him, he's not Mechel on his covered for me? Two people have yard side. You give kohen Levi, there's only one more Aliyah. So one guy's going to get Hagbah. He doesn't want Hagbah, he wants an Aliyah. So he has to claim be Moichel on the Kohen. He says, no, not Moichel on my Kohen. So the Yortzeit loses out. So people are very touchy about this. So that's what the Mishnah says, that sometimes the Kohen is going to be Moichel on his Kohen, sometimes not. It's going to be causing Machlokes. So the Meir Takana, the Kohen should never be Moichel on his Kohen. That's what it says in the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Nun Tes. Tosus in Chulin writes that they think that this whole Braisa, that the Kohen getting the first Aliyah, is only an Asmachta Midirabonim. When the Gemara says, Dioraisei, when the Gemara asks the Kasher, isn't it a Din Dioraisei that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, as it says in the Braisa, the Kidashtoi, Leftarach Rishon, Levarach Rishon, Lelitam on the Yofa Rishon? So Tosus says, even though the Gemara used the expression Dioraisei, it doesn't mean Dioraisei, it means it's a Din Derabonim that has an Asmachta and a Pasik, unrelated to Darkei Shalom. It doesn't really mean that it's Derais. That's what Tosfos wrote when he gets to the Ganav, who steals somebody else's mitzvah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel instituted a penalty, that if I shech the chicken, and I have this chus to perform the Kisei Adam, and another wise guy runs in, and he rushes, and he does the Kisei Adam, and now I lost out on the mitzvah, because once the Kisei Adam is done, so I won't accomplish anything by doing another time Kisei Adam. The dam is already mechuseh. So because he gummed in the mitzvah for me, so we penalize him and he has to pay asar as a hudah. So the Gemara, Tosfos raises a shaila, there was Maaseh Shehaya, that the gabbai called up a kohen to the first aliyah, and a non-kohen decided he wants the aliyah, so the non-kohen ran up and he said the bracha, and they lay in the whole aliyah and they finished showing, and the other guy screaming, the kohen is screaming, they stole the aliyah from me. They called me up, they stole the aliyah. So Tosfos had the shayla alocha l'maisa. So Tosfos paskin that he doesn't, the ganef who stole the aliyah does not have to pay asar zehuvim. The only time you have to pay asar zehuvim is when he stole a mitzvah deraisa from you, a mitzvah that he has a right to mederaisa, like kisi adam. That's derived from a pasuk, the shachat v'chisa misha shachat hu yichasa. The one who performed the shchita has the schus. The Chatkir has the first crack at doing the Kisei Adam. If he's mechabed someone else, the other person can also be fulfill the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. But he has the schus to it. So that's the schus mederaisa. But Tosfos says, when they have to call up the coin to the first aliyah, that's not a din deraisa. The Gemara says, Leftarach Rishon, so Tosfos says, that's only an asmachta mederabon. It's not really a din deraisa. So what does it mean, Mikidashta? No, so Taisa understand the real Pshat and Mikidashta is like the Gemara in Yevamah said on Daf Peizayin, Mikidashta Bal Korchoi. It's referring back to the prohibited marriages. If he married a woman, Ba'aveira, the Kohen married a Grosha Zayin of a Halala, so then the Halacha says, Mikidashta Bal Korchoi, the Bezin should force him to get divorced. And this comment, that's what Taisa claims, this comment that the Gemara has in Gittin on Daf Nuntes, Mikidashta, means in the sense of being mechaber the kohen, the Taisa thinks that's only an asmachtem of the rabbanon. The Mechumish has a remarkable din, which is a psayotzim in aklal. Normally, hishra kosev ish elish lechol onsh msheba Torah. If a man or a woman violate avodah zarah, so they get skila. If a man or a woman are boal eshes ish, so they both get chenek. If a man or a woman violate any aver, they get the same onish. Malkus, skila, sveifa, herik, chenek, the same thing. Abbas kohen shezinsa, she's an eshes ish, the Gemara says. Now, it doesn't apply to a pnuya. A pnuya shezinsa is not chayiv sveifa. The bas kohen shezinsa is an eshes ish, so the boel gets the onish that there should have been. If she's an arusa, naira hamarasa, then the onish is skilo. If she's an asua, then the onish is chenek. The special onish that the bas kohen gets sreifa instead of what the onish misa should have been, that's only on the bas kohen, not on the boil, because her participation in that, in the violation of lysinov, is an additional aver. The pasuk says es avir hi mechalelis. The boil is not considered mechalel her father. The boil was boil eshesish, but the bas kohen shezinsa, in addition to violating loisinif, is also in violation of esaviyah himachalela. So that's what the Mishnah says: he b'sreifa v'im boil of b'sreifa. And then the Mishnah adds on, that's the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin, right before Perek Chelik, the very last Mishnah right before Chelik. Then it says he b'sreifa v'lo zama meho b'sreifa. Normally the din is vasisim loikash zamam lazis liachiv. If witnesses testified falsely, to give someone an einish misa, malkis, mammon, knas, whatever it is, so vasisim loikash zamam. If they try to give skila, so they get punished with skila. If they try to give sreifa, they get sreifa. They try to give chenik, they give chenik. Over here, the witnesses testified that the baskoinis chayv sreifa, and they're huzmu. So the halacha says we don't punish them with sreifa. That's the first Mishnah, and Marcus lists off two cases where the Eidim Zanimim don't get Kasha Zamim. Then the Gemara adds on another two cases, some total of four cases. So Taisus writes there in the first Mishnah in Marcus that Marcus is a Hemshech of Sanhedrin, that the last Mishnah in Perek Elohein on Echnokin, and the last Dapir, Daf Peites, the last Mishnah in Perek Elohein on Echnokin lists off the first case that's more explicit than Chumash. He b'sreifa v'lo zomameh b'sreifa. That the zomameh baskoyen don't get sreifa. And then the first Mishnah Makkid lists off another two cases where they don't get kasha zomam, and the Brisa lists off the other two cases. This is an interesting thing. The baskoyen shezinsa is an exception to the rule of Ishra Kosav Ishaliish, that the boil and the novellas don't get the same punishment. And it's an exception to the rule of Edom Zomim. And the Chumash has the special dinim of the Kohen Gadol. Not only is he not permitted to marry the three prohibited women, he's not allowed to marry an almana either, and he has to marry Dabka Basula before the age of 12 and a half. And the Kohen Gadol has more restrictions than the Kohen Hedyot. He's not even permitted to be metame to the Zion Kohen. Love Uvelima lo yitama. Not a lot of mimetamit to the Zayin Kroven. So the Gemara understands this to mean, the Gemara in Maikot, the beginning of the third period of Maikot, understands this to mean that the Kohen Gadol is not Noheg Avelus. Because as the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs points out, the Rambam and the Yarach HaZok also points out from the Gemara later in Eilu Medalchen, in the third period of Maikot, that the mitzvah of Avelus, the Rambam and the Goyim and the Mechaber are of the opinion that the mitzvah of Avelus are mitzvah deraisa. Where is there a mitzvah deraisa? Where does it say in Chumash you have to observe Avelus? So the Rambam says the pasuk in Chumash is lo yitamo choivo. The pasuk that says the kohen is obligated to be mitame to design kram. The Rambam holds that the obligation to be mitame only makes sense by a kohen. If you're a non-kohen, you're not accomplishing anything by being mitame to the mace. A kohen is mechal kedushas kunis, so that's a way of showing respect. It's so important to show respect to the mace. The design craving is even mechal kedushas kunis. If you're not a kohen, so it's neither here nor there. So according to Rambam, there's no obligation. But still, the pasuk lo yitama, the Rambam holds, applies even to non-Kohanim, not for the purpose of being Metame the Mason. Lo Yitama means to show Kavod Abrius in general. That's the Gemon Brachas, of course. This pasuk, Lo Yitama, is the source of the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius. So included in the din of Lo Yitama is that one should observe Avelus on the seven relatives. The Gemara says that Kol Meis Shehakoyim Metama Olav Misablim Olav. These seven relatives are mentioned in the Chumash that the Kohen is Metame to them when they die. So if such a relative would die, whether the surviving relatives are Kohanim or not Kohanim, the surviving relatives have to observe Avelus. And then the Gemara says, Hasifu Aleim, and then Shuv, they added on more relatives. Because there are very few relatives over here. Let's say half-brother, half-sister wouldn't be included here unless they have the same father. So Hasifu Aleim, a later generations, the Tanoim added on that one has to observe Avelus even on additional relatives. But the basic din of Avelus, the simple reading of the Gemara, sounds like it's a din deraisa. Kol mi shakoyim mitamei lo, misablim olov. That the mitzvah of lo yitama, to be mitamei to the mason, is the mitzvah of avelus, of nihug avelus. What else is included in addition to this? So that's what the Rambam quotes, all the dinim from the Gemara. Everything is deraisa for the first day. The Gemara says many times that avelus is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam says, yes, observing shiva and shloshim and yud beis chodesh, that's only with the Rabbanon. But avelus yom rishon, the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam and the Gaonim and the Rif and the Mechaber, they hold Avelus Yom Rishon is a din deraisa. So here the pasuk says the Kohen Gadol doesn't mitame to any mason. So the Gemara understands that to me, the Kohen Gadol is not misabel on anybody. Kohen Gadol is not misabel, doesn't observe Avelus at all. Why is that so? Why should the Kohen Gadol not observe Avelus? The Rambam writes, when he gives you all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, and he quotes the Mishnah in the second parak on Sanhedrin, says, how does the Kohen Gadol, when a relative of the Kohen Gadol dies, he has to be careful not to come close to the mace, not to be mitame. So then the Rambam writes, but the Kohen Gadol observes Avelus like everybody else. So that's a famous, difficult Rambam. The Rambam is against the Gemara. The Gemara said before, the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. Some Achrayim wanted to defend the Rambam, that the Rambam paskins against that Gemara in Elam Megalchim because of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. What do you mean? The Gemara in El Begachan is Chelik on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara should have said it's a Machlekes. The Gemara doesn't say. The Mishnah doesn't say anything in the second parak in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that if a relative of the Kohen Gadol dies, you give the Kohen Gadol a Sudas Havra. Sudas Havra is usually one part of Avelus. That's one part of Nihug Avelus. So the Achrayim say that's where the Rambam got this from. The Imre Bina writes like this. Not the Imre Bina Oyerbach. There's an Imre Bina that was just written 100 years ago. No, there's an old Imre Bina. It has Hagoas on the Taz and on the Shach on Yeriday. There are a lot of misprints in the Shach and the Taz. So there's an old Imre Bina that has Biurim on Yeriday, Shach and the Taz. In the back he has a Horus al Shach. So he claims that the Rambam knew to Paskin against the Gemara Maikotin. The Gemara says explicitly, Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus at all. The Rambam chose to paskin against the Gemara because of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin in the second parak, in Parak Kohen Gadol, that says the Kohen Gadol has to have a Sudas Havra. So if he has a Sudas Havra, there you have it, that he observes Avelus. Truth of the matter is that that's not necessarily true. You can say that Sudas Havra is Nichum Avelus. The Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. Sudas Havra is to show our kindness to him, that we know he's Tzabrachin in his heart, he feels bad. It doesn't mean Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelus. He shouldn't feel bad over the fact that his relatives died. No, he should feel bad over it. So he gave him a Sudas Havra to be Mechazikim. That's a shaila, where the Sudas Havra is a din in Nihog Avelus, or Sudas Havra is a din in Nichum Avelu. What's the nature of the din of Sudas Havra?
One should assume that he doesn't get
the
Sudas Havra.
The Mishnah says he gets
Sudas Havra. It indicates nothing else. Otherwise, why mention that?
It gives you details about the Sudas Havra. Normally, when you give a Sudas Havra, so the oval sits on the floor, sits low, and here, Mishim Kodesh al Kohen Gadol doesn't. So that's why it mentions the Sudas Havra, to give you that he has the Sudas Havra differently from everybody else. And then it leaves you hanging, it doesn't say, what about all the other aspects of Avelus? So it's a problematic Rambam. The Pashtus and the Gemara is that the Kengorel does not observe Avelus at all. What's the reason why he doesn't observe Avelus? So the Gemara says it's identical with the din that on Yom Tov one does not observe Avelus. Because the Kengorel all year long is like Yisrael Baregel Domi. Kengorel Kol HaShana Kulo, Yisrael Baregel Domi. By the Kengorel all year long is Yom Tov. Why is that so? All year long is like a Yom Tov? That the Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara just says, can go all year long, doesn't observe Avelus, because by him it's a p'china of Yom Tov all year long. That's a question. So Rav Soloveitchik has an essay about this. This is one of his, he used to say this in his drushes, one of his standard themes, that the inyan of Simcha comes when a person is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avelus is when one is far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sadness. One is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always chedva. That's what the Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga. Ein atzus lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no sadness when one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in the Pasuk, there's always rejoicing. So regel and sholosh regalim, there's a mitzvah of simcha because it's nachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Because we have an obligation to be Ola Regel. Even those that don't have, the men have an obligation. Yerol Kol Zechuch, and the men, the women don't have an obligation to be Ola Regel, but they have to be Lifnei Hashem anyway. They have to eat Shalmei Simcha. So the kids, the women also have to be. Everybody has to be Lifnei Hashem. And even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you're not Ola Regel, is also the common theme of all the Yom Tovim in the Chumash is that the person has to be in the state of Lifnei Hashem. The Kohen Gadol all year long has to be in the Beis Hamikdash. He's always in the state of Lifnei Hashem. So that's why the Kohen Gadol all year long has a mitzvah of simcha. So that's what the Gemara says. Whenever there's a mitzvah of simcha, so simcha and avelus is a tarte desasis. Other people don't observe avelus on regel, on Yom Tov. If they were observing avelus before, so the regel terminates the avelus. Or if someone died by regel, they didn't begin to observe anything. So they begin to observe the Avelus after Regal is over. The Kengorel all year long is Regal. So all year long is Regal. Kengorel Kol HaShana Kulo, Ki Yisrael BaRegel Dam. All year long is Regal. So he just doesn't observe any Avelus. That's what the Pashtus in the Gemara. The Rambam writes that the Kengorel is not allowed to be married to two wives. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says on Yom Kippur he's not allowed to have two wives. It doesn't make sense that a girl should marry him, should be the second wife, because when it's going to come Yom Kippur, he's going to divorce her. But let's say he's a retired Kengorel and they didn't fire him. He's a retired Kengorel and they didn't fire him. Yeah, he's retired at the age of 75, he's going to marry a 10-year-old girl. I don't know what they had to think to me. Let's say he's a Kengorel, he was retired, and he's prepared to marry this 12-year-old girl. Okay. And he's not, he's retired, so he's not going to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. So there's no, the Rabbi Tainus, there's no halacha that says a Kengorel may not be married to two wives. No, possibly. It says on Yom Kippur here. The Chippa Bado, Bad Besa, Besa Zuishta, and then the Gemara says, on, that's the first Mishnah in Yuma, Dav Besa Menala. The Gemara says on Yud Gimelam and Besa in Yuma, that Bay Sechel Velo Shnei Bat. Only one wife. You can't have two wives on Yom Kippur. But all year long, there is no such thing. That's what the Ravid Tainus. Then the Ravid quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, where it says beferish that there was a Kohen Gadol who was married to two wives. That's the Astogas Ravid on the Rambam. Then on the bottom of the page, they point out that there is no such pasuk. The pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says the Kohen Gadol was a shatchin. It doesn't say Vayisa, it says Vayasi. The Kohen Gadol read a shidduch to someone else. He married off, he was the Masadik Yidushin for someone else and married two wives. So they say they don't know exactly what the Ravid thought he was quoting there from the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. It doesn't say the Kohen Gadol married two wives. It said he married off two wives to a friend of his who was not a Kohen Gadol. What exactly is a chalola or a cholol? So the Pasuk says if a Kohen has a child from a woman, where they violated Isuri Kuna. The Kohen marries, lives with a Grusha, Zaina, or a Chalola, the Kangora lives with an Almana, and they have a child. So that child, if it's a boy, will be a Chalola, if it's a girl, will be a Chalola. What are the dinim of a cholol? So a cholol means empty. Cholol, empty space. Emptied out from Kedushas Kuni. It doesn't have any dinim of Kohen at all. A balmum has a Kedushas Kuni. The only thing is that he's not permitted to be makar of korbanah. So the Pasuk says in today's Sedra, if you have a Kohen who's a balmum, it says, Lo yigash lakaris lechem esishi Hashem, lechem alakot mikachi akadoshim min akadoshim yochel. He may eat kachi kachim, he may eat kachim kalim, but he may not achalaparechis lo yavor velamizbech lo yigash kimom bo. He's not allowed to be makri of korbanos. But a balmum is a kohen. He's allowed to eat kachi kachim, he's permitted to eat truma, he's not allowed to be metamele meisim, and he's not allowed to marry a noshim ha'asuras. A person who's a cholol is mamish nothing. He's not allowed to eat korbanos. He's not allowed to eat the kachi kachim. He can eat kachim kalim, same as anybody else, but he's not a kohen. He's permitted to be metamele meisim, he's permitted to marry a grusha zayin of a cholol. A cholol means empty legami. There's a strange din. If he did avoida b'diyevet, so then the din is fakir. If the balmum did avoida b'diyevet, so even b'diyevet avoidas mechulelas. And if the cholol, who's worse off, the cholol's mamish emptied out from kedushas kuna, the cholol does avoida b'diyevet, that's a machloek in satanayim, Reb Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. In the Mishnah, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, that b'diyevet avoidas ekshera. It's a paradox. The cholol is mamish emptied out, no kedushas kuna at all, as opposed to a balmum basically is a kohen, just has a psul to do avoida. So b'diyevet, if they did avoida, one, if you would have said there's a difference, anyone in his right mind should have said the difference the opposite direction. That the balmum is a kohen, so b'diyevet avoida is a kshera. The cholol is nishkin kohen. So the din is not so. The balmum, even b'diyevet, is avoida is a mechulol, and the cholol is a machlok is adam. He passed on that it is kosher. So Chalola is one of the women who is not permitted to marry a Kohen. The Gemara says there are two kinds of Chalola. The Gemara says in the Yom Kedushin, there's a Tosis points in it. There's a Chalola Aydei Leido, she was born from Psulei Kuna, and there's a Chalola Aydei Bio. Let's say a Kohen lives with a Grusha, so she becomes a Chalola. In addition to being a Grusha, before he married her, she just became a Chalola now. Well, let's say the Kohen lives, Kohen Gadol lives with an Almana. Kohen Gadol marries an Almana. So she was always an Almana the last couple of years, and now that the Kohen Gadol lives with her, she becomes a Chalola in addition to being an Almana. Sometimes there's a rule, Eini Sechal Alisa, we assume that there's such a rule, Eini Sechal Alisa, but there are a lot of exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara in the end of Kiddushin has a whole discussion about the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara has a fascinating comment on the Pasuk here. It says the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry any one of the following four women, Almana, Ugrusha, V'chalola, Zona, Sehla, Lo Yikach. So the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin that there's a reason why it's in this order, Almana, Ugrusha, V'chalola, Zona, only in this order can you have all four Isurim. If the Kohen Gadol is Baal Ho'isha, who's all four, then it'll be Issa Chalal Issa and Issa Shlishi, Chalal Issa Sheni, and Issa Revi is Chalal Issa Shlishi. Each one is Issa Chalal Issa. But if it'll be in a different order, then you say Ein Issa Chalal Issa. Why so? So the Gemara gives the whole Cheshbon why. When first she becomes an Almana, so she's only Asura to Kohen Gadol. If she becomes a Grusha after becoming an Almana, a girl was married to somebody and the husband died. Then she married another guy and they got divorced. So when she becomes a grusha, that's not any sechalalis, because the first isur almana was only the kohen gadol. Now that she becomes a grusha, it's even also the kohen hedya. So that's called an isur moisif. The second isur is much more inclusive than the first isur. Then if she becomes a halal on top of that, let's say a kohen lives with the grusha, so she becomes a halal aydei bia. There's a halal aydei leid and a halal aydei bia with the psulikuna. When she becomes a halala, then the Gemara says that's also Issa Chalalisa, because the Shem Chalala is more encompassing, more inclusive than Grusha, because Grusha only makes an Issa to live with a Kohen, but it doesn't make an Issa to eat Truma. A Grusha who's a Kohen is permitted to eat Truma. If the girl becomes a halala, she's forbidden to eat Truma. So Chalala, the Isa Chalala Lekayin, is the same shame Isa of Chalala who is Asura to eat Truma. So that's called an Isa Moisif. The Isa Chalala is much more inclusive than the Isa Grush. Then if she becomes a Zayna on top of that, so that Isa is also Chal. Why? So the Gemara says because the Isa Zona is much more inclusive than the first three Isurim. Amara Grusha Chalala only applied to Kohanim, and Chalala applies with respect to eating Truma. Zona applies even by Yisraelim, that a man is not allowed to live with his wife who's a soto, ishto soto. So the Gemara says, the isa soto labailo is basically because the wife has the status of a zona. So the Gemara understands that it's related to, you can't say that it's identical with, but it's related to the prohibition of the zona lakoy. So the Gemara says, that's why the pasuk is medactic to write a dafk in this order. It's pasuk yudalit from the beginning of Parsha Samor. Parsha begins with Pasuk Dalet in chapter Chofal. So the Pasuk Yudalet says, in this order, Almana, Ugrusha, Vachalala, Zona, Esela, Loikach, Dapke, in this order. And if it's out of order, then we would apply the Klal of Avelis, Achalalis. And you have the Din that a Kohen who's a Balmum is not permitted to be Makar of any Korbanis. And if he's makir with the karbonis, it's the avodas mechulelus even b'di'evit. The din is if the kohen is a balmum, and then the pesukim continue to say if the behemah is a balmum. If the behemah is a balmum, then you're not allowed to be makir with it. By the behemahs, there are two madregas of a mum. There's a mum kavua and a mum over. Mum kavua means permanent. Mum over means it's going to heal by itself. Just because you can correct it through surgery. Tosis writes in Mechorah, said that's not called a mum oivim. Mum oivim means it's going to get better by itself. What's the difference, la'alacha, between a mum kavu, mum oivim? It's the same thing. If you mock with a carbon, that's a balmum. Whether it's a mum kavu, mum oivim, the carbon is possible. Difference is for pidyon. La'alacha says that if you have a carbon that has a mum kavua, then you can be poided. But if it only has a mum oivim, then you cannot be poided. So that's what Tosis explains. A mum oivim means it's going to heal by itself. Just because it can be corrected by surgery, but it's not going to get better by itself. That's still called the mum kavua, and you can be poida unless you went ahead and you did the surgery. If you did the surgery, you said oh, it's balmum. So it's not a balmum anymore. But kozman, you didn't do the surgery yet. So that's called the mum kavua. And the din is that you can be poida. Then the halacha has the dinim of a tamei, a kohen who's a tamei. Is not permitted to eat kodoshim. Which kodoshim? Emor aleihem l'dorei sam. Tabir al Aharon l'bonosah. He's talking about something that has to do with Aharon. So you're not talking about Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is kodesh. Truma is kodesh. Chatas is kodesh. You're not talking about Maaser Sheni because then it's not miyuchad to Aharon l'bonosah. So you're talking either about Truma. Or you're talking about karbonis. It says a kohen whose tummy is not permitted to eat kodoshim. What kind of kodoshim? So the pasuk dalet says this in chapter chavdeis. Ishish mizera aharon hu tzarua ozob kodoshim lo yachal ad asher yitor. So the gemara says that pasuk is talking about truma. How do they know that the word kodoshim? I would have not said like that. Kachim usually means kachim, karbonis, the way we use the expression. Kachim does mean truma. The Gemara says, now since it says ishish mizera aharon, so it's referring to some kind of a kodoshim that shoved bizarro shal aharon, that all kohanim are permitted to eat. If it's talking about kachim, bizar chatos and osham, only zichri kohanim can eat. And if it's talking about cause of a shok of a shlamim, that even a kohenis can also eat, but the kohenis cannot always eat it. The pasuk says later, what if a kohenis, basi ish kohen, kisil yish zar, ibetrumus hakadoshim lo seichel, calls man that the kohenis is married to a non-kohen, a zar, she's married to a Yisrael or a Levi, she's not allowed to eat truma or kochim. What happens if the husband divorces her, or the husband dies, vizera ain law, then the pasuk says the shavu abeis aviyah kinerem elechem aviyah tachel. If the husband dies, kozman she's married to the czar. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, kozman she's married to, we say, ishte kugufoy. So even though she's a Kohenes, but since Ishtik Gufoy, so the husband is not a Kohen, so we treat the wife as if she were also not a Kohenes. She forfeits her status of Kohenes. But as soon as the marriage is terminated, there's nothing left, there's no Zecha left. If there's still children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren left, so she's still connected in a certain sense, b'mashu, with her former husband, who divorced her, who died. But v'zer ein la, there are no descendants at all. Then she's allowed to eat truma again. So the Gemara Yevamos has a comment, mi lechem, mem is a miut, mi lechem v'loi kol lechem, that the chozeres, the almana grusha v'zer ein la v'shovel beis aviyah, she's chozeres to beis aviyah, she's chozeres l'chuma v'eino chozeres l'chaza v'shoik. Once she was married, once the bas kohen was married to a non-kohen, she's never for the rest of her life allowed to marry chaza v'shoik. He's not allowed to eat chazav shok, even if she become a grusha of the almana, the zera ein la, she's still ein a chazeres the chazav shok. So the only kodoshim that's eaten by shavu bezara shel Aaron, the only kodoshim that's eaten by all the kohanim, men, women, and a bas kohen who lost a husband, the only kodoshim that's shavu bezara shel Aaron is truma. So the Gemara claims that that's the pshat in the pasuk. Ish ish mizera aharon, hu tzaru aizav kadoshim lo yochal arashir yutor. The lav only goes on eating truma. So how do you know that there's a lav on eating kachim? Where is there a lav on eating kachim? So it's a whole sugya. It's all sugya in Zvach, medaf lamagim, homach legs, abiechon v'ishlokish. Where is the lav prohibiting a tamei from eating? The psukim say it's chayv kares. The psukim say here. Goes on a kodim to Masala, Benichros and Navshim Mulfana, and Hashem. If a kohen eats kodshim in the state of Tumah, he's chayv kares. Chayv kares, okay. To be chayv kares, you don't have to have violated the law. And it says you should be careful not to come close to the kodshim when you're in a state of Tumah. Okay, it's an essay. But how do you know there's a loisesi? There is a loisesi. The Mishnah says in Elohein Aloikin, the Mishnah says in Makkos that a kohen tomei she'ochel hasakotshim is loike. So the Gemara has the sugya there in Makkos, and the main mocker of the sugya is in Zvachim Adaf Lamagimel. Where is the lav? So it's all machleg zambiachin mishlogi, but it's taken not from this pasuk. Ishish mizera haron, but kodashim lo yachal is referring to truma. The word kodashim is referring to truma here. It's not referring to korbanos because it's referring to such a kodashim which is shavu bezara shel Aharon that they're all permitted to eat. What prompted the chacham? What forced them into saying like this? Ish ish mizera Aharon shavu bezara shel Aharon. Why do they have to stand on their head and give such an interpretation? Because the next pasuk says. Next pasuk says, "Nefesh Hashem, Ish Hashem Yigah b'chol sheretz ayshiit malo." If a person touches a dead sheretz, a live sheretz, not mitam, touch a dead sheretz, so yitomei nefesh Hashem tigabo. If someone touches a dove, tomei v'tomad ha'erev lo yachal min hakadoshim kirim machatz b'sara b'moim. So it says that you need ha'erev shemesh. Vavo ha'shemesh v'taher after ha'erev shemesh v'acha yochal min hakadoshim ki lach mahu. It says you need tvil and a mikveh, and then you need harav shemesh. So the chachamim had a tradition. Mishnah is like that. The first mishnah and brachah is like that. That there are three kodashim that may not be eaten in the state of tumah: ma'aseh sheni, and truma, and korbanos. So the ma'aseh sheni is based on the pasuk that says in vidah ma'aseh lo biyartim imenu b'tumah. I did not consume the ma'aseh sheni in the state of tumah. So obviously it's forbidden. It's prohibited to consume the ma'aseh sheni in the state of tumah, whether you are tumah. And the Ma'aseh Sheni is Tohar, are you a Tohar? The Ma'aseh Sheni is Tam, it doesn't make a difference. They're both included in the prohibition, Lo Biyartim Menu B'Tomei. So the Tanoim had a tradition that appears in the Mishnayos in a few places. If a person is Tovel in the Mikveh, Tovel V'Yola, Oichel B'Maiseh. If he comes out of the Mikveh, he doesn't have to have Harav Shemesh. He doesn't have to wait till Tzeisach Kechavim following the Tvil in the Mikveh in order to be allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. The Negev to Ma'aseh Sheni, he's Tohar already. Harav Shimsho, when it has Harav Shemesh, Oichel B'Tshuva. That's the first Mishnah in Brachas. Neimus HaKonis HaShma Bo'arovim, when is the Zman Kriya Shma? So the different opinions in the Tanoim. So the Mishnah holds Tzeisach Kechavim. So instead of saying Tzeisach Kechavim, it gives a description. From the time, that is Tezgahom, from the time the Kohanim come back home and they're permitted to eat the Tshuma, that means Harif Shemesh. And if you, the Kohen wants to eat Kodoshim, if he wants to eat Chatos HaOshim, or Yisrael wants to eat Bisar Shlomim, it's not sufficient to have Tvil in the Mikveh even with the Harif Shemesh. You have to have sometimes heavy Kaparosek. There are four people, the Zab Zavi, Yoledes, and the Tzorah, four people who are Tevil in the Mikveh and they have the Harif Shemesh, and they're still considered Tameh with respect to entering the Beis HaMikdash and with respect to eating Kodoshim. With respect to Mikdash beKodoshav, the Mechusi Kippurim is still called Tameh. Mechusi Kippurim means that he has such a Tumah that requires of him, he has to bring a Korban. That's the Zab Zavi, Yoledes, and the Tzorah. So the Pasuk says over here, let the Kohen whose tummy be toivel in a mikveh and have his Harif Shemesh, and then he can eat the Kodoshim. So obviously that's a dead giveaway, that's on Truma. That after the Tanoim established this din, they worked out this din, they hammered out the din based on all the psukim, that Maizu Sheini, a tummy is not allowed to eat until he's toivel in a mikveh, and that's it. Truma, you have to have more than that, you have to have Harif Shemesh. Kodshim, you have to have more than that, you have to have Hevi Kaparasa. So here, the Pasuk says, all you need is Harif Shemesh. They said, obviously it's talking about Truma. So why is it so misleading? It says Kadoshim. So he said, no. It says, Ish Ish Mizera Ahara and Dobar Shavah Bizarre Shalar. And that's how they knew that it's talking about Truma. They were forced into it because it says, all you need is Harif Shemesh. So of course it's talking about Truma. It can't be talking about Maizu Sheini because you don't need Harif Shemesh. It can't be talking about Korbanos because Harif Shemesh is sometimes not sufficient. By the four Tameim, by the Zav Zav Yoledes and the Tzar, the Harif Shemesh is not sufficient. So that's how they interpreted this whole parsha. Then you have the strange pasuk that the Gemara has difficulty with. Nevela pasuk ches, nevela treifa lo yochel atamavo ani Hashem. A kohen is not permitted to eat the nevela treifa because he's got to make him tame. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, it's alluding to nivla saiftoha mitame abeis abliyah. Yeah, but the Gemara has difficulty with the pasuk. What do you mean, nevela treifa lo yochal? A kohen better not eat a nevela because it's going to make him tummy. Any Yisrael is allowed to eat nevela. It's the hanisa nevela. It's non-kosher. It's, forget about tumas kohanim. It's the hanisa of macholas asuras. Why is it only single out the kohanim are forbidden? The Gemara is the kasher. Nevela treifa lo yochal is referring to a kohen with tomavo. Very strange. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in one of his fun quotes from the Rebbe Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz has a lot of svarim on Chumash. And one of his svarim has a wild interpretation of this pasuk, highly questionable whether it's correct. He says, when the soldiers are in the army fighting the war, so there's a din that they're allowed to eat non-kosher food, kadli dachazeri. Pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, that we will be fighting the war for Kibush Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban holds that it's only in Kibush Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to any other wars. And the Rambam extends it. The Rambam holds that it applies to all wars. Whenever the Jewish soldiers are in any war, even not Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So they have a heter. If the Rambam holds the heter is if they're hungry. Kishira ve'ilam ayochel. If they're hungry, have nothing else to eat. So then the halacha says that they're allowed to eat non-kosher food. So what if it's a kohen who's in the army? Does he have a heter to eat kadli dechazeri? So the Rambam puts kadli dechazeri, the Rambam puts this heter that the soldiers have a heter to eat the non-kosher food, he puts it together with the din that a soldier is allowed to take a yefas toya. And the Gemara says in the first perek in Kiddushin, on Daf Chav Gimel, that a kohen who's a soldier in the army is not allowed to take a yefas toya. If you put two and two together, you may get 22. They're just like a kohen is not allowed to have, doesn't have a heter yifastar. Kohen doesn't have a heter yifastar because it's a double Easter. For a normal soldier, it's an Easter, she's an achris. For the kohen, in addition to the intermarriage issue, she's a zayna. An achris is a zayna, so it's a double Easter. So the Gemara says the chumash gives a heter yifastar. That's if the soldier is nishkin kohen. Because it's only one Issa. If the soldier is a kohen, it's a double Issa. In addition to the intermarriage issue, it's an issue of a zayna, so the heter doesn't apply. But by eating non-kosher food, the kohen don't have an additional prohibition over and above everybody else. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibishit says, no, that's the pshat. Nevela treifa lo yoichal. at a time that the other soldiers are allowed, the other people are allowed to eat non-kosher food. When is that? When they're in the army? And there's a hetter to eat the non-kosher food. So if the soldier is a kohen, he has no hetter to eat nevela trefa lo yoichal. Question is it correct? It's a harif. It's the Gemara asks the question. Gemara doesn't give that answer. Gemara asks, only kohanim are forbidden. In Israel, am I allowed to? So Rabbi Yonison Abish is that smarter than Gemara. He says, this is the answer to the Gemara's question. Highly questionable. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay, one of the Sorim. He tries to bring a lot of rise that Kohanim, because they have a higher level of Kedusha, they have special dinim not only with respect to Truman, Hakrovas Karbonis, and Achilas Kachi Kachi, and the Isure Ishus. No, they have, even for Shabbos and Kashis and Taras HaMishpacha is also different by them. It's Mocham. If you're a Kohen, since you're on a higher level of Kedushas Yisrael, so everything is Mocham. So he fishes around, he has a whole bunch of Gemaras. So this is one of his marmakonis. This is a mocker. Rabbi Yonis and Abish, it's Pshetlan and Pasuk is a mocker. The others are Gemaras. The other Makaras are better than this. But this is questionable. See, there's a connection with what we mentioned before. What forced the Chachamim to learn Pshat in the parasha here that is talking about Truma is because it says, "Vah Shemesh v'Taher." All you need is Har Shemesh. Obviously, it's only talking about Truma. If it's talking about Kachim, sometimes Har Shemesh is not sufficient. That's why there's a problem. Tosa says that Kasha. That's why there's a problem in the pasuk in the beginning of Tazria. A Yoledes is one of the four people who's Mechusir Kapara. She has to be tovel in the mikveh. She can't be tovel before the 7 days are up for a boy and the 14 days are up for a girl. And then she has to have Harav Shemesh. And the Harav Shemesh is not the night after the 8th day, or the night after the 15th day. Rashi HaChumash quotes from the Gemara an expression, she's a tful yom aruch. She has to wait till the end of the 40 days are up, by a boy at the end of the 80 days are up, and then it's called Harav Shemesh. So she's tovelus in the mikveh after the 7 days, and she has the status of a tful yom. So she's permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni. For the purpose of eating Truma, she has to wait till Tzeisat Kechavim after the 40th day is up, after the 80th day is up. And then if she wants to enter the Beis HaMikdash, she read Karbonas, so she has to bring heavy kaparos. She has to bring the Karbonas. So you read the Pasuk, it's a problem. It says, how does it say? And she has the status of a tful yom. She's a tful yom marach till the end of the 40 days. Not yet. Normally a tful yom just till that night. And here the Gemara has an expression based on the pasuk. She's a tful yom orach v'chol kodesh lo yisigo v'el amigdosh lo savo ad malos yimei tohara till the 40 days are up. And then when the 40 days are up, then everything is okay. What do you mean? Mechal kodesh lo yisigo, but she's still a mechusi kippurim. So the Gemara. So how does it say mechal kodesh lo yisigo if she's still a mechusi kippurim? So that's what prompts the Gemara to interpret kodesh over here means truma. Kodesh can't mean kachim. Kodesh has to mean truma because if with respect to kachim, she's still not tohar until hey bikaparasoi. But it says that Amigdash lo savo. It says she's not allowed to enter the Migdash ad malos yimei tahara till the 40 days are up, till the 80 days are up. So what does it help the 40 days are up? That's a tful yom mar. So she had a harav shemesh. After the 40 days, I'm still not allowed to enter the Beis Amigdash. She's a mechusi kippur. So the Rambam says, correct, a mechusi kippurim is not allowed to, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Bias Migdash, Mechusi Kippurim is not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and if they do, the Chayv Kores, but there's no Malkus because there's no Lav. It's only an essay. It's an essay. There's no Lav. The Lav is only Ad Malos Yimei Tahara, till Har Shemesh. If it's Tvul Yom enters the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says he's Loike. He or she are Loike. And if Harif Shimsho, Velohevi Kaparasai enters the Beis HaMikdash and Mechusi Kippurim, so the Rambam writes that there's no Lav. That's what it says in Chumash. So the Ravitz screams on the Rambam, what is he talking about? The Gemara says, Beferish at this Kores. Yeah. Of course, the Rambam agrees at this Kores. The Rambam quoted that then also at this Kores. If this Kores, obviously they did something wrong. Yeah, they're over an essay. But they're not over the lav. The only place where it says a lav is the opening pasuk in Tazria. Vel amigdosh lo tavo. And that lav is only ad malos imei tahara, until she has the Haru Shemesh. After Haru Shemesh, before heavy kaparasa, there's no lav, so there's no malchus. It's only an Isir Aseh. So the famous Rambam right there. Then the pasuk says only Kohanim are permitted to eat truma. Unlike Maaser, Maaser is given to the Levian, but it's not restricted. A non-Levi is permitted to eat Maaser. They can feed it to a Zar. It's Gezel Levian. If you don't give it to the Levim, it's Gzela. But once the Levi gets it, it's Chulim Gemurim, like picking up Ben money. It's Chulim Gemurim, like Reishis HaGez. It's Chulim. It's not Kodesh. Zerah L'Chayyam Rakev is also Chulim Gemurim. And you shech the Nama, you have to give Zerah L'Chayyam Rakev to the Kohen. That's Chulim. So here the Pasuk says, no, Truma is not the same as Maaser. Truma is only Muteris L'Kohanim. Chalzar L'Yechol Kodesh. Not allowed to eat Truma if you're not a Kohen. And even if you're an Eved Ivri of the Kohen, Toshav Kohen V'Sachei Lo Yechal Kodesh, even if you're an Eved Ivri, and even if you're an Eved Nirza, Vavod Oli Olam, also not allowed to eat Lo Yechal Kodesh. The only Eved who's an Eved Shal Kohen, who's allowed to eat Truma, is an Eved K'naini Shal Kohen. That's the next passage. Kohen Ki Ikna Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo. If you buy an Eved K'naini, who Yechal Boy? Only an Eved K'naini and not an Eved Ivri. That's what we usually say. Tesis writes, Tesis in Yibam, is the final base, writes regarding this, because when you own an Eved K'naini, in addition to the Kenyan Mom, and you also have a Kenyan Iser, means I own him with respect to Iser the Heter. Areas of Iser the Heter are affected because of the fact that I own the Eved K'naini. Namely, he's allowed to eat the Truma Shal HaKohen. But in Eved Ivri, Tesis claims, if you own an Eved Ivri, there's only a Kenyan Mom, and there is no Kenyan Iser. That's what Tosfos writes. There is no Kenyan Issa. That's why the Eved Ivri is not permitted to eat the Truma, and the Eved K'naini Shel Kohen is permitted to eat Truma. Gemara has himself on another din. An Eved K'naini cannot become a Mamuna on a Korban Pesach. An Eved K'naini is just as obligated as everybody else to participate in Korban Pesach. So an Eved K'naini cannot become a Mamuna on a Korban Pesach without explicit permission from his Odom. He doesn't have the right. It's not because the Odom wants him to serve him. No. It's halacha. The Eved K'naini cannot become Pesach's only nechal l'menuyav. So the Eved K'naini is kofuf to the Yodan. The Yodan has to give him permission to choose to be mamun on a korban Pesach. He can't do on his own. And Eved Ivri is on his own. He can pick whichever if he has off on Pesach, unless the Yodan wants him to wait at the tables. So then he has to. He doesn't have to be mamun on his korban Pesach. He'll say, "I wait on you, and I'll eat korban Pesach with someone else." But the Eved K'naini, even if he has off on Pesach, he doesn't have to work for the boss, he cannot become a Muna on a Korban Pesach without the express authorization of the Odom. So that's what Tosfos says. That shows that on Eved K'naini, in addition to the Kinyan Iser, Kinyan Mamon, there's a Kinyan Iser, but on the Eved Ivri, there is no Kinyan Iser. Then Tosfos asks the Kasha, but the Dinas and Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha K'nainis, so it does not show that there is a Kinyan Iser. If there's only Kinyan Mamon, how does the halacha change with respect to Shivcha K'naini? Shivcha K'naini is also in Yisrael. So Tosfos claims that doesn't indicate anything. They say the reason why it's mutar b'Shivcha K'naini is that's in the line of duty. Because Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha K'naini, the Yodon has a right to make the Eved Ivri work for him, even in the area of being Moilid V'lodos. But Tosfos Shita is, the Ritva disagrees, Tosfos Shita is that let's say I have an Eved Ivri, I don't want any V'lodos. I'm not interested in having a blah. I want the Eved Ivri to learn in yeshiva. I don't want him to have anything to do with any women. But he falls in love with my Shivcha K'nainis. He wants to have an affair with the Shivcha K'nainis. So Tosfos says that it's forbidden. Tosfos claims the only time he's muta b'Shivcha K'nainis if Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha K'nainis. In the line of duty, so that's when there's no Issa. Because Meshubah to the Yodan. But if it's not B'tara Shibud, on his own he wants to live with the Shivcha K'nainis. Tosfos Shita is that it's us. And the Ritva and Kiddushin disagrees with that Tosfos. That's a Tosfos in Yivam, is the final base. And the Ritva does not agree. Included in the Pasuk is three people. Three. Kohen Ki Ikna Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspa. So the Gemara says it includes the Behemas Kohen, and Eved K'naini Shel Kohen, and the Eishes Kohen. that's the discussion that the Achrayim have. Did the Tanoi mean to say the Eishes Kohen is exactly the same as the Behemoth Kohen? Or is she on a slightly higher Madrega? What do you mean, Behemoth Kohen? There's no mitzvah to feed Truma to the Behemoth Kohen. Yodin doesn't recite a bracha Shikirishana Big Nishosu Shalaran when he feeds the Truma to the Behemoth. It's a heter, even though you're not allowed to waste Truma. But if it's basically Michael Behemoth, if it's really Michael Behemoth, it's not Chaim and Truma. It has to be Michael Odom to be Chaim and Truma Semaises. But if it's something that's rarely eaten by people, it's basically a Michael Behemoth, but it's Royal Achilles Odom, so it's Chaim and Truma Semaises because it's Royal Achilles Odom. But it's basically a Michael Behemoth, then you're permitted to feed it to the Behemoths. Real Michael Odom, you're not allowed to feed to the Behemoths. So that's the question. When you feed Truma to the Behemoths, to Hemas Koyen, that's a heter Achilles. It's not that that's a Kima Mitzvah. There's no bitl mitzvah. The shah is when you feed truma to an Eishes Kohen, maybe she says a bracha, maybe it's a kiyum mitzvah, maybe not. So that's a discussion in Achrayim. The Chumash says that if a non-Kohen eats truma, the punishment is mitzvah b'day shamayim. That's if a non-Kohen eats truma b'mezid. Lao shachot truma b'mezid is misa b'day shamayim. What if he eats truma b'shoigeg? So the Chumash says he has to, in order to gain a kapara, he has to give keren v'chaymish. V'nasan ha-Kohen es ha-Kodesh. And he can't make out a check for the value. It's not that if the truma that he ate was worth $4, so he adds out another dollars, the chaymish, he makes out a check for $5. No good. Even if he gives cash $5, also no good. The halacha says, v'nasan ha-Kohen es ha-Kodesh. He has to give food to the Kohen. If he ate tomatoes, he gives tomatoes. If he ate potatoes, he gives potatoes. If he drank wine, he should give wine. And when he gives it over to the Kohen, it's nepach lias kodesh. Tashlumen anasim kodesh. When he gives the keren v'chaymish to the Kohen, it becomes kodesh. So this, the Gemara says, this giving of the keren v'chaymish is the kapara for the aveira that he did b'shoigig, which if he would have done it, amazing, would have been punished with misa b'dev shamayim. So if he eats the truma b'shegeg, he gives the keren v'chaymish from adava harayli as kodesh. He gives it from, in food, in the form of food, and then he gets the kapara for that. So the Gemara makes a parallel between this din and the din that one who violates an aveira sheyesh bo kores. If there's an aveira, there are 36 krisis in the Torah. The Mishnah in the beginning of krisis lists off lamevav krisis amores bater. So if a person violates an aveira sheyesh bo kores, b'shoigeg, then the Chumash says that he has to bring korban chatos. Chatos is in order to gain a kapara when he violated the aver, which if he would have done the mezid, would have had a punishment of koras. If he violated the aver b'shoigeg, the chayv chatos. So the Gemara draws a parallel between the two. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and that fine Aleph has a machlekes of Yechem Yishlokish in the following case. Let's say somebody knows that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He knows that you're not allowed to eat Chelev Adam, but he didn't realize that it's Kores. So he's at Belav V'Shogag B'Kores. He knew that he's doing wrong. He knows it's an Aveira, but he didn't realize how serious the Aveira is. He thought that it's only an Aveira. He didn't realize that it has Kores. If he would have known that it has Kores, he would have not. He's medaktik. He's a little bit medaktik in mitzvahs. Those Aveiras that are really Chomer, he doesn't want to get Kores. So Eishesish, he doesn't start up. And other things that are Karisi, that Chometz B'Pesach, he's not going to do. And Achila B'Yom Kippur, he's not going to do. But Shabbos, he didn't realize that Shabbos is Karis. So he's it, B'Lav, B'Shogit, B'Karis, is a Machlek, Zav Yechon, V'Shlokish, but he's Chayv Chatasana. So V'Shlokish says, he sees it, he did it B'Mezit, so there's no Kapara for Mezit. And we pass on like Rabbi Yechon, and he's it, B'Lav, B'Shogit, B'Karis, is called Shegit. Means, he didn't realize the Chaimah who Yisr. He knew that there was a lot, but he didn't realize that a lot sheesh b'koris. So that's called Shegig on the Chaimah who Yisr. So the Gemara says that the same Achleg Zabiechem Eishlokish would apply here by Zar Shachal Truma b'mezid. What if he's it b'la b'shogag b'miso? He knew that it's not permissible for a non-Kohen to eat Truma, and he ate it. Nonetheless, he went and he ate it b'mezid, but he didn't realize that there's a punishment on Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Gemara makes a statement that Chaimish is to Misa V'Dei Shamayim what Chatos is to Kores. So it's the same Achleg Zabiechem Eishlokish will apply over here as well. So that's why the Mishnah Melech has Akash. That's why the Mishnah Melech in his little Sefer, Derech Mitzvosecha, the end of, he has a Sefer Parashas Drachim of Agaritev, Essays on Drush. At the end of the Sefer, he has a little essay, Derech Mitzvosecha, about the Minyan HaMitzvos. He has a few comments here and there. So he has the following Kasha. There is a Mishnah that says, if a Zar she'ochal truma t'meya, Zar she'ochal truma b'shoigeg has to be give kerma chaymesh. So the Mishnah says it doesn't make a difference whether the truma is tahara or t'meya. He still has to be mosel chaymesh. So he's bothered with the kasha. The Gemara says, u'meisa bo ki chaluhu, that you get the punishment of misa b'dei shamayim only applies if the truma is tahara. If the truma is t'meya already, is Pratlazusha Mechulelis V'yomedis. The Gemara says that a Zar She'ochal Truma T'meya will not have Misa B'dei Shamayim. So how come the Mishnah says that there's a Chiyuv Chomesh? If the Gemara says in Shabbos Dafayin Aleph that Chomesh is to Misa B'dei Shamayim, but Chatos is to Kares, means that the only time you chayv Kerem V'chomesh by Zar She'ochal Truma B'shegig is if the Tzar would have eaten Truma B'mezid, there would have been a punishment in the Misa B'dei Shemaim. So he needs a kapara for the Aveir Chamur, for the Chaim Arisa. So he has to give Kerem HaChemish. But he is Tzar Shachal Truma T'meyo. Tzar Shachal Truma T'meyo, so the Gemara says, Mezid Bok Yichalu Prat Lezu Shemuchulel Ezra Medes. It's T'meyo already. It's not Oymed L'mitzvasa L'heyochal Ha'idei Kohanim, because it's T'meyo anyway. So there is no Misa B'dei Shemaim. So why is the Chaimish B'shoigi? That's his kasha. That's a very strong kasha. And the Pasuk says, the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash are not permitted to be makriv a korban, it's a balmum, whether it's donated by a Jew or by a non-Jew. So the Mashmoy says, if a non-Jew comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to donate korban, it's not to Yoshke. He wants to the Jewish God, the Kablim, the Dormin, the Dovis, the Nanachim. The Pasuk says, Miyad Benechel HaSakrivu Eseile, Mikolele, you're not allowed to bring a balmum, but if he brings a behemoth mimo, he can't be makriv it ala mizbeach. Why not? The din is, what if the non-Jew wants to make his own bomb? So he doesn't have, he only has seven mitzvahs b'nerech, he doesn't have a prohibition of shchut echutz, so he wants to make a bomb in New York City and offer karbonos la'shamayim, that's perfectly okay. On his own personal private bomb, if he wants to bring a karbon, that's a mum, a bal mum, that's also okay, as long as it's not a mechuser eiver. Morris says in Avodah Zarah, in the first parak, that there's an avera if a non-Jew brings a mechuser eiver. What's the Avera? Tosis does not exactly. What's the Avera? But there are only seven mitzvahs b'nerech. So what Avera is he violating? If not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nerech, we don't know. But that's what it says in the Gemara. Nachri can make his own bama, b'ashamayim, and be makriv karbanos b'zman isa bamas. He doesn't have any isa bamas. He doesn't have the rest of the tariag mitzvahs. But he's not permitted to be, he's permitted to be makriv a balmum on his own personal bama. But he's in violation of an avera of sorts if he's makriv and mechuser eiver l'shamayim. That's if the nachi wants to make his own bomb and whatever he chooses. But if he wants to come to the Beis HaMikdash, we may accept karbanos from him if he tells us that it's l'shamayim. If he tells us that it's to his the God of his religion, we may not be makriv. But if he says that it's for the Jewish God, we may accept the karbanos, but not if it's a balmum, even though he himself could have brought a balmum on his own bomber. He's only forbidden to bring a mechuser eiver. But if he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to be makariv it, even if it's only a balmum. It says mumbo, even if it's only a balmum, even if it's not a mechlisarev, you're still not allowed to be makariv it. Then the pasuk continues to say that you're not allowed to be makariv any carbon until it's v'yom hashmini v'holo. The first 7 days you shouldn't be makariv the carbon, you should wait till the eighth day. So this is a special din in Karbanos. It doesn't apply to Behemas Chulin, but nonetheless, the Gemara understands that it's based on the assumption that if you're not sure whether the vlad is kolol chadosh or not, if you wait the heimo shushasur zayin yomim is yotze mechlal sofik neifel. So if you're not sure whether it's a neifel or not, if it survives after the first 7 days, you know it's not a neifel. So the Gemara understands that that's perhaps the reason why the Torah established this din as a loyplug, that you're not allowed to offer any korban on the Mizbeach until the 8th day, even if it's biyadur bevada shikola chadosh. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says a din that you, in Shechita Schulin, not in Kochim, you're not allowed to shecht an animal if it's a suffix, kola lechadosha, blo kola chadosha, until it's the 8th day. Sometimes it's not a problem. Sometimes in the springtime when the calves are born. So sometimes they slaughter them very, very young, before the 8th day. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat it. If the shecht the behemoth before the 8th day, it's a suffix nefel. If it's a suffix nefel, suffix in the veil, you're not allowed to eat it. Gemara has such a similar interpretation regarding the requirement for lamed yom for pidyon haben. Why does the halacha say that the chiyuv pidyon haben only begins after 30 days are up? Because of by Adam, kol shelo shor lamed yom ba Adam is lo yotze mechlal suffix nefel. If shor lamed yom is yotze mechlal suffix nefel. Even though the din, strictly speaking, is that Pidyon HaBen doesn't take place till Yom Lamed Aleph, till the 31st day, even if the baby is post-mature. The baby came out after 10 months. Not only was he there inside the mother for 9 months, he was there for 10 months. You still have to wait Lamed Aleph Yom for Pidyon HaBen. So it has nothing to do with the Suffolk Nefel. So the Gemara understood, no. Since normally, if you don't know whether it's Kol Olai Chadosh or Nah, so if you wait 30 days, it'll be Araya, kol shesholam and yom ba'adam, ain't no nefil, that's a raya that is not a nefil. So the Gemara understands that's probably why the Torah established the din that Pidyon HaBen shouldn't take place until Yom Lam and Aleph, as a light plug, even in the case where it's biyadur shekol lechadosh. So they're both dinim, the Gemara puts together in Masechah Shabbos. Kol shesholam and yom ba'adam, kol shesholam zayin yom and bebeime, that this din and karbanis and not din of Pidyon HaBen are based on this biological or medical fact. And the Chumash has a repeat several times. It has the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and the Yisrael of Chil Hashem. Lo sechalu Hashem kachi v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara in Yuma has the Abba Chiluki Kapora, the four levels of severity of Averis. The Gemara quotes in the end of Yuma, Daf Peivav Menach, Rab Masih ben Chora, Shmet, Rab Loza ben Azari in Rome. What were they doing in Rome? And he asked them, Shamato Abba Chiluki Kapora, what's your tradition? So he says, yes. If a person woke up late for Minyan and he missed Man Krishma, so he's Mevatla Mitzvah, so if he does tshuva, Ein Azaz Mishama Shemochon Lo. If he does tshuva, he'll get a kapar. If he ate chazer, if he spoke Loshon Hara, that's not just he didn't over al esay, he was Oivan Alois esay, so he has to do tshuva, tshuva tolo v'yom kippur mechaper. Once Yom Kippur comes, kibay yom azay yechaper aleichem tayres, Yom Kippur will bring the atonement. What if the Issa was not Stam Lashon Hara and not Stam Acholos Asuras? What if he violated the Issa Kores? He was Boal Anido, he was Mechal Shabbos, he ate Chelev Adam, something he ate on Yom Kippur. So then even Tshuva with Yom Kippur is only Toila, it's not a full Kapora, until Yisurim. The Gemara says he has to have Yisurim. But what if the Avera that he violated is the most severe, the fourth Madrega, and the most severe is if he did an act of Chil Hashem? So then the tshuva with the Yom Kippur with the Yisurim are only toilim, it's a partial kapara, until the Yom Amis. When he dies, that then he'll be atoned for. So the Gemara asks the Hechidami Chilal Hashem, what's an example of Chilal Hashem? So the Gemara gives you examples that are very frightening. The Gemara says Chilal Hashem means, even if you didn't do any aver at all, Chilal Hashem doesn't only mean the guy's Mechal Shabbos in front of 100 people. The Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham acts in an improper fashion. Ben Torah, Ben Yeshiva acts in an improper fashion. He doesn't even act in an improper fashion. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I'll walk Dalat Amos in the street without tefillin, there's a din, you're not allowed to walk Dalat Amos without tefillin. There is no such thing. But the perception of the Balabatim is that the rabbi shouldn't do that. We don't wear tefillin all day long, but the rabbis, they're supposed to be more than that. They should wear tefillin. They should be talking in Torah all day long. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if I'll walk down Ramas, believe Torah, believe Tefillin, that'll constitute a Echel Hashem. Because according to the perception of the Balabatim, I'm doing something wrong. If I'm Adrei Gossi, I'm doing something wrong. Abai says in the Gemara, if I go to the butcher shop and I buy meat and I don't pay right away, but the butcher sells to everybody on credit, he marks it down and he sends you a bill at the end of the month, and you pay. No, Abai says, if I'm going to buy on credit, then maybe some balabas will think that I'm trying to get away with something that I don't plan to pay. Even I do, I'm not doing anything wrong. He says, that's called a Chilul Hashem. I think Mar talks about Tamachachm Shinim Tzerevav Al Bigda. Tamachachm doesn't dress properly. He has clothing that's dirty or he's sloppy, he doesn't shave, he doesn't polish his shoes, he has worn down heels or whatever, he wears a hat sloppy. So if a person dresses in a sloppy fashion, so the Gemara says, Tamachachm dresses in a sloppy fashion, the Gemara says, Kol Misanai O'ahu Moves. The Gemara Shabbos quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kol Misanai O'ahu Moves, Atikim Misanai Ola Masniai. They cause people to hate the Jewish religion, they cause people to hate Tamid HaChacham. That's a Chilul Hashem. So the Pasuk says, V'lo Yisrachah Lo Hashem Kodesh, you have to be careful, not only Chilul Hashem in the sense of doing an Aveira, even Chilul Hashem to cause people to think poorly of the Jewish religion, but to cause people to think poorly of Tamid HaChacham. That's also an issue. Shlomo Zalman has in his in a tshuva, he describes an incident that there was once a dedication in the yeshiva called Torah in the summertime, and it took a few hours, so the balabatim who gave all the money were all present and they were not religious people. So after the whole function was over, so he called them into his office and he gave them a drink of soda. So the bracham asked them later on, but these people don't know how to say a bracha. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's a prohibition of lifnei. To give food to someone who's not going to say the Magen Avraham says it's an Issa Lifneiver to give food to someone whom you know, they all knew they're not going to say a bracha. Shlomo Zalman said, yes, I was concerned about that myself, but I had to make a quick cheshbon. So he said, if I would have not given them a drink, they would have thought very poorly of me. They gave so much money to the yeshiva and they sat through this whole ceremony, a dedication ceremony of 2 hours on such a hot day, and they can't, the rabbi can't even, such a moron, can't even give me a drink of water. There's nothing to drink over here, so either event would have been a lifnei iver. If I would not give them a drink, it would be a lifnei iver of an aveira deraisa, of causing them to think poorly about a talmid chacham. That's a bigger aveira than not saying a bracha on food. And if I give them a drink, then it's a lifnei iver of an aveira derabbanan, of eating food without a bracha. So he writes that he felt that when you're faced with a dilemma, and whatever you're going to do is an Aveira, so the Gemara says you have to be Bercha B'miotara, you have to choose the lesser of the two evils, and the lesser of the two evils is not always Sheva Al Tasa Adif. Sometimes the Gemara says if the two Dodim are equal, and one is an Aveira B'kum B'yaseh, and one is an Aveira B'Sheva Al Tasa, so the Aveira B'Sheva Al Tasa is the lesser of the two evils, Sheva Al Tasa Adif. That's an Erev and Daf Kuf Amidal. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's not always the Hachra. Sometimes it's, if one is a lifnei of an aver deraisa and one is a lifnei of an aver derabanan, so the lifnei on the deraisa is worse, even though it's only being violated by shevi al tasas. So he said that's why he chose to violate the lifnei on the eating without a bracha, as opposed to the lifnei on thinking poorly of tamid chacham. That's also chilul Hashem. Tamid chacham acts in a stupid fashion. He doesn't use brains. So that's also chilul Hashem. That they should think poorly of Tamir HaChacham, they should think poorly of Bnei Yeshiva, of Rabbanim, it's also a concept of Chilul Hashem. V'nikdashti b'serach Bnei Yisrael, it's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky has an interesting comment on this passage, v'nikdashti b'serach Bnei Yisrael, why is it b'loshen nifal? Why doesn't it say v'kidashti meshmi? It says, v'lo yisrachalu Hashem kach, she's speaking to the people. Then it should say, V'kidashti meshmi b'serach b'nei Yisrael. No, it doesn't say that. It says, V'nikdashti. I should become sanctified b'loshen nifal. So he writes that we know in the Middle Ages, whenever the Crusaders were traveling through Europe, the Bali Atesis, many of them committed suicide in order not to convert to Christianity, and many of them killed their children. So that's question number one. Is it permissible to commit suicide in order to become yaseh? Maybe the din of Yargva Yavar only is you have to stand there and let him shoot you rather than convert. Who says you're allowed to commit suicide? That's a major question. But question number two, what right did they have to kill their little children? They were not even bar mitzvah. The little children are not muzer on Yehoreg Vayavar. And it says, the Baal Yatay is on Parshas Noach, quote, as came Baal Yatay, they quote. And the history books, they quote, these to kill their children. So he comes up with a whopper of a chiddush. He says, it doesn't say v'kidash demeshmi. If it would say a tzivu yana odam v'kidash demeshmi, so it's only on a bachiyuva, on a ktanim, not mechuyiv. But he says, since it says v'nigdashti, you should see to it that there should be a kiddush Hashem, so it even applies to ktan. So they understood. Whatever the answer to the first question is, the first question is also a major question. How do you know that you're allowed to kill yourself to kumbi asay? Maybe you just have to stand there and let them kill you. Who says it's permissible to kill yourself to kumbi asay? That's a major question. But he only answers the second.